If you'd like to open your Bibles with me, we're going to read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13, beginning at the first verse. This is entitled, The Parable of the Sower. Sometimes people have wanted to say a better title is The Parable of the Soils. But let's listen. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And then going down to verse 18, where Jesus explains the meaning of this parable. Listen, then, to what the parable of the sower means. When someone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I hope that you are glad that you came to church. I hope that you feel really good about the fact that you have been brought into a congregation, this congregation most likely, and call it your church, the place where you belong. Why though? Why did you do that? Why did you decide, hey, it's good to be part of a church? Hey, it's good for us to have a church home, and for those of us who are members of Bethel, say, hey, it's good for us to be part of Bethel Church. Why did we do that? There must have been something worthwhile, something significant, something that makes it worth the trouble of getting up on a Sunday morning, something that makes it worth the effort to find your place in the ministry and programs of the church. Because if there wasn't something about it, you simply wouldn't do it. That only makes sense. And if people didn't see value in the work of Bethel Church or the vision or the mission of Bethel Church, we wouldn't have all these programs or even a new one, a beautiful one like Divorce Care for Kids. And I thought, why is it? I was kind of puzzling about that this week. What is the motivation that we have in saying, I am going to have my spot in that pew right where you're sitting, and I am going to be there on Sunday morning? One of the reasons maybe that people would say is, I have chosen to be part of the Christian community and of this church because I want to know God. I think that this is a place where I am going to understand who God is, and what more important thing can there be than knowing the Creator of all things and the one who gave me life. I want to know Him. That'd be a reason for you to come here. Maybe you would say, no, I come because I want to grow. I want to experience peace. I know there's so much chaos in my life, and there's chaos at work, and there's upheaval and uproar all over the place. But I think that the church will be a place where I can experience those kind of fruit of the Spirit kind of things, where I can experience love and peace and joy and the benefits, the wonders of the gifts of God, and I can experience that here. Maybe we say, you know what, I want to learn. I need to continue to grow, and I want to understand what the Bible teaches. I want to understand the journey of the body of Christ, the church. I want to understand what it means to understand theology and things like that, because I know that if I know that, I'm going to be a better and stronger and more informed person. Maybe we say, no, I come to church and I'm part of this because I want to have a purpose in my life. I want to live for something, and I want to have a vision of something that is bigger than me that I can devote my life to because I know that when I do, I'm touching the face of God. And I want that to be my reason for being. Or maybe we say, you know what, I know how much loneliness there is in the world. I know how people go into their houses and they shut the door and they go into the rec room in the basement, they turn on the TV, and that's their life. And no one's connected to anybody anymore. There's no community. And I think that if I go to church, if I'm part of Bethel, I am going to find community. I'm going to be connected to people, and I'm going to have people that I know, who know me, that I care about, who care for me. And that's what makes me want to be part of Bethel. Maybe we say, well, I want to make a difference. I want to have what I do have an impact for eternity somehow. And I'm convinced that my job, you know, it's not a bad job. I kind of enjoy my job, but what is the eternal impact of my job? Not so much. But if I'm part of the church and I'm helping people know God and get connected to God and have their lives be changed and making a difference in the world with the gospel, yeah, that's why. And there's what I'm trying to show you is there are so many good reasons to be part of the church. So many exciting and important and compelling reasons that you want to find your way here. And I am delighted. I'm delighted that you're here. Now, not just because I'm the minister and it's kind of my job, and if you all disappear, then you know my salary goes out the window. That's not it at all. I'm just delighted that we can be here for all of these reasons so that we can have community together, so that we can talk about truth together, so we can make a difference together, so that we can know God together. Like, that's all the good stuff. Now, and I think you probably agree with me, but you'd also have to agree with me that that in church, the front door of the church is wide open, right? We say, hey, come on in, and we summon the world, and we try to have cool programs so that people will be attracted to the kingdom. And then we want to introduce them to Jesus in a compelling way so they'll say, yeah, and I want to stake my spiritual life here. And so come on in, we say. And we say to our families and to our kids and to our grandchildren, come on in. Come on in and find a home. Find a reason. Find a purpose. Find a community. Come on in. But we know, we also know, that as the front door is wide open, the back door seems to hang wide open too, don't we? And we know that people come in. People come in because they're born into our families and they come in. We know that the people come in because they hear about Bethel as a compelling community, or they come in because of relationships. They come in and then somehow they go out the back. And we say, what happened to that guy? Do you remember him? Remember how they came and he, that family, that they were part of us, and they were worshiping with us, and they were participating in ministry with us, and maybe they were even an elder deacon once, and but now we don't see them anymore. What happened to them? Where did she go? We know that is part of our reality. I was part of a church years ago where the church council started noticing that. Say, we've had lots of people in, and we've had lots of people out. And then they looked at what would have happened to this church if the back door had been closed, if people weren't drifting away, sliding away. I'm not talking about people that move away because of work, but people that are still around, but they're just not here. And they said, this church would be packed to the rafters if we had not had a leaking back door. So they said, we're going to try to figure this out. And they formed a little group of the elders and me and said, we want you people to go and conduct exit interviews to find these people that have disappeared from among us and ask them, why did you leave our church? Can you tell us the story of your journey into the church and out of it again? Can you tell us what made you decide not to be part of this worshiping and ministering community? And what we learned lined up with what Jesus taught us in this parable in Matthew chapter 13. Now, this parable, as I read it, I thought, you're thinking as we're reading it together, oh yeah, I know the story. This is one of those stories that's super familiar to us. Even this year at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School was all about shareable parables. And this, indeed, was one of the parables that we shared with the kids in the Vacation Bible School. Yeah, everybody is pretty familiar with it. And when I shared it with the Vacation Bible School kids, I explained it in a pretty standard way. I said, okay, kids, when we hear the good news about Jesus, we have to be open to that. And we have to let God's Word and His Spirit find a place in our hearts so that God's Spirit grows and so that we become fruitful people. And it's important, open yourself up to Jesus, and He will grow in you. That was kind of the message. not a bad message, right? Say, oh, well, what a heretic you are, Pastor Bruce. Well, no, that's a pretty obvious interpretation and application of that story. But as I was living with this passage this week, I wondered, what did Jesus hope that people would do with this parable? What application was he hoping that preachers would make of this parable in the centuries that would follow him? And I think Jesus would have wanted us to do a lot more with that parable than what we've done. So yes, it's true that we should evaluate our lives and we should consider what kind of spiritual soil that we are and try to get rid of the rockiness and try to get rid of the weediness and to plow the ground of our own lives so that the Spirit and the Word can have a place and grow and be productive within our lives. Well, yeah, that's good, of course. But the church is never to be understood as a collection of individuals. When I have tended to read this passage, I've read it as an individual. So, okay, I, as a guy, have to be open to receiving the Word, and that Word is planted in me, and it grows, and I have to do that. You have to do that. Each one of us, have to be open to receiving that. But when the church is referred to in Scripture, and when Jesus talks about His people, and when the writers of the epistles speak about the church, it's always about community. A unified community of faith that is anointed by the Holy Spirit and called to ministry. So when we hear this story of Jesus about both the soils, and we hear that there are those for whom that the good news of salvation is carried away by the evil one, or when we hear that there are those who grow cold to the good news after the initial euphoria of being part of the community of faith, or that there are those who go through hard times and it's so discouraging for them that they give up on the faith that they had received, or that there are people who are seduced by the siren song of worldliness and materialism. What are we to do with that? A good thought for us coming out of this passage of Scripture is, how can we be the kind of community that hangs on to its people, that encourages them and blesses them? How can we be the kind of place, the kind of church that enables people to stay true and strong to the profession of God's goodness and the experience of community? How can we be the people who hang on or transform or help people to get what is really going on in their lives? What do we do for those who never even got it? Well, what do we do when there are people in our families for whom the message of salvation seems to have landed on the asphalt of their hearts? And it just rolls away and there's no getting it. So you say, well, yeah, some people just don't get it. Some people just, oh well. Do we just say, oh well? Is that the kind of church we are? I'd say no. I'd say the Lord wants us to not be the kind of church that allows people to just, go away. We have to teach. We have to explain, we have to model to all of our people by mentoring, by the ministry of small groups, by connections in the different clubs and organizations, GEMS and cadets and youth group and whatnot. We have to be trying to break through that crust that is preventing the word from getting through to them. We need clear and consistent messages of truth, and we need to worship in a way that dissolves that which is preventing the word from getting through. Or for those whose passion for the gospel fades. We have Christianity Explored coming up, and it's such a vitally important ministry for Bethel, right? That we are going to be drawing people to hear the message really clearly, in a coherent way, and building relationships. It is so important. I can't overstate how vital this program is and how important it is that we as a church, say, yes, we are going to use this opportunity to get people to hear the gospel. But when they do, people come, your neighbor, your member of your family that's not a believer comes, and they hear the gospel, and they're given the opportunity to respond to Christ, and they say yes, and they find out there's meaning and there's hope and there's a relationship, and they can know God and they can be at peace with Him, and they go, wow, what a wonderful thing this is. What a joy, what a privilege, what a life-changing thing. And they're up, they're like this all the time. They're super excited. You know that's what happens when people become Christians. And we're us longtime members of the church thinking, man, I kind of wish I had that. But it's a dangerous time too for people, because you can't be on the mountaintop all the time. Sometimes you've got to come down a little bit so that you can actually engage in life and find a way of living the faith for the long term. And people that don't, they fall off the cliff. What do you do? How do we help people when the honeymoon of faith is over to live in the long term with the Lord and His people? As people kind of fade away because, oh man, like what I had before it just seems to be gone. Do we just let Him? And if there's ever a reason for a good small group ministry at Bethel Church, I think this is it. Because it's in small groups where you build the relationships, where you can help people to understand how you transition into a long-term walk with God. Or those who are upended by the tragic or painful events in their lives. People who lose a member of their family to some terrible illness or accident. There are people who think everything is good, and then they lose their job, and they get their house foreclosed on, and everything in their life seems to be going. And they say, "Well, where's God now, huh? Here I gave my life to Him, and what happens? My life, turns into goes down the sewer. Like, what's with that? How can this be true?" And they don't get it. And so they walk away and they go cool to the gospel and they stop going to church. What do we do about that? We have to be the community that comes alongside each other. If we want to be part of the church, if we want to be the church, we have to be a community for each other that does not let each other go. For people who are tempted by the worldliness and the message of the world, that church is dumb, that faith is private, that it's not worth the sacrifice, that what you should be doing is taking care of yourself, that your toys are more important than the cause of the gospel, We need to be there for them. Now, in these exit interviews at this other church I told you about, we saw all these reasons that people left. Ultimately, you say, well, yeah, they left because some pain in their life that they couldn't understand, or they left because, you know, it just didn't feel exciting anymore, or whatever, those kind of things. But the thing that I remember the most about what they told me, these people, is I stopped going to church. I had been attending. I was there all the time. I was really involved. And then my life kind of went ick because of this, that, or the other thing. And I stopped going to church, and nobody noticed. Nobody called. People seemed to avoid me. Nobody cared. And because the church didn't care for me, at that vulnerable point in my life, I don't care about the church anymore. And I hear that more often. I don't think that the problem actually was that nobody cared. Rather, I think the problem is that we just don't know what to say. They're gone, but, well, what do you say about that? Or when people stop coming, maybe you feel like it's a judgment against us as a church, or against you as a person who was in that ministry program with them. Maybe we don't say anything. Maybe we let them go because we feel kind of guilty about it. That they left and they say, oh, you know what? We are not a perfect place. We are a broken place. And I understand why people leave. But whatever it is that we feel, whether we feel hurt or whether we feel guilty or whether we feel confused about it, we have to be active in our community, in keeping our fellowship from being the kind of people that people want to drift away from. Here at Bethel, in the last year or two, we've been talking about striving for excellence in ministry. Say, well, we want together to be the best church, the best community of faith that we can be. That we're going to not give half-hearted attempts to anything we do, but we're going to try to do the very best we can with whatever God has given us and whatever God has made us to be. We need to keep doing that. We have to pursue those who have gone AWOL. People that are not with us, we can't just say, well, they're gone and oh well. We have to say, we haven't seen those people, and we have to let them know that we care. Not like in a creepy sort of way, not like stalking them or anything, but just to know that we notice that you're gone, and if you've got an issue, we want to understand it and we want to work it through. If there's a problem that you have, then let's talk about it. You know, it is a good thing to be part of Christ's church. It is. We talked at the beginning about all the reasons that people would say, I want to be part of this. Those are all true. You do find truth here. You do find community here. You do find purpose here. You can find, indeed, you know, the joy of the Spirit and the love and all the benefits. Let's make a commitment to making sure that people in Bethel know that. And let's make a commitment to helping each other to experience the joy of it. Let's make a commitment together to noticing each other and the absences of one another so that we can be ministering agents for each other. And we will stay connected to the Lord as indeed we will stay connected to each other. For this is the community of faith that God has called us to be. Can we pray for a minute? Father in heaven, we do thank you for making us community. And we thank you that we are here. But we are mindful of those that have drifted away from us. Those that have kind of faded out of the picture. Some of them are members of our families, our children, their grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, some of our parents. And Lord, we lift them up to you and ask you, Lord, to bring them back. Lord, use us in any way possible to let them know that they are not forgotten. We lift up each other, Lord, and if some of us are feeling like we're about to fade away, Lord, help us. Help us to know you better and to cling to the community that you have placed us in. I pray, Lord, that you will make us a good church, healthy, vibrant, committed to you and to each other. For we know, Lord, that a healthy church is a beautiful thing. And we love the people that you've given. Lord God, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.